I add my thanks to what Rick and Dane have already said today about your gifts last Sunday, especially the food. That's one of my love languages. It especially tasted very well. And those notes, I read them over and over again. Thank you. If you have your Bible today, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, and the last paragraph of 16, beginning with verse 24. What does it mean to be like a club that you would belong to? But we see in the scripture that following Jesus is not optional. You know, one of the tenets that I hold to, and I believe the scripture in our church teaches that scripture is very plain about, is that when a person comes to Christ, truly comes and gives their life to Jesus, he becomes Lord of their life, that they are signed, sealed, delivered, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they shall never perish, they are with him forever. One of the dangers of the abuses of that doctrine is a belief that, well, I've got my fire insurance, now I can go live like I want to live. That's not what that doctrine teaches. And in fact, an attitude like that rather shows that we never got the goods in the first place. Because when you receive Jesus as Savior, you also receive him as Lord of your life. That goes together. And that is evidence of that. The passage I want to read to you today is verse 24 and 25. It'll speak to this, and then I'm going to do a little drawing for you today. Now, John's got a bigger plan for me in the future for this, I believe, doing some drawing. But it's not very artistic, but you'll get the message today. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, okay, there you go. You wish to come after Jesus, then what? Then he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's illogical. You, in trying to save something, you lose it, but if you willingly lose it, you'll save it. Oh. What does that mean? Let's pray. Today, by these gifted people that you have given to us, Lord, it just ministered to my soul. And I want to thank you. Thank you for your presence here right now, Holy Spirit. I ask that you would teach us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I know it has rollers, but they don't work. John's going to hook me up with a little device that will allow me to do drawing, and you'll be able to see it up there. Yeah. Yeah, high-tech redneck. That's right. All right. He said, if you're going to come after me, you've got to deny yourself. That's put yourself away, your agenda. And you do that daily and follow me. Follow after him. So that denotes that you were following something else before that. And what is that? What was everyone following before they came to Jesus? Following their own agenda. And who is the king of his own agenda? Who showed us even before creation? Who fell? Satan himself. You read all those passages in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. It shows about the pre-creation fall of the evil one. So by the time of the creation of the garden, he's already fallen, and a third of the angels have gone with him. And he stated all those I will, which is the very root of sin, which is rebellion. It's doing it our way, your way, my way, and not his way. Remember that question that I give to you sometime. That question, God or not God? That's another way of saying it. And when it's not God, that is always rebellion. Always. It's never anything else. You can't gussy it up, make it look good. It's always rebellion because it's doing it my way instead of God's way. Doesn't matter how much you paw the ground and feign humility, it's always rebellion. All right. So, if he says, you deny yourself, that means you're following him even by doing that. Because what did Jesus do? He put aside himself. He put aside, the scripture says that he stepped down out of heaven, that for a while he set aside. I don't know what that the limitations, the prerogatives of Godhead that he set aside for a while. I don't understand all of that. That it talks about in the book of Philippians. That's too big for me to understand. I know what the Greek words are there. I know what it says, but it's still too big for me to understand that he would set that aside. But I know what it says in John 1:14, and there it says, and the word became flesh. I know he stepped into flesh. He's still the Son of God. But there were limitations. He was born of a virgin, born into this world. So he saw everything like we do. He fully identified with us. Well, so when we deny ourselves, that means we have taken on the position like Jesus. Then he says this statement, the one who wished to save his life will lose it. Look at all the ways that mankind tries to save his own life. He tries to extend his life. He tries to enhance his life. He tries to do all of these things to make him important. Buildings. The pyramids of Egypt. What are they there for? They're a testimony to the ego of man. Did you know that? I mean, talk about having a giant a funeral pier and all that goes on with that, a lot of other evil stuff that we talk about that goes on with that, but there it is. We saw it at the Tower of Babel, and man... thinking too largely of himself, Man wanting to save his life. And man will invent ways. Look at all the religions of the world that have been invented by man to make man feel good about man. Look at all the perversions of Christianity that are out there. Man doing man's thing. But Jesus said, it's got to be this way. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When we come to Jesus, no one ever comes to Jesus that doesn't need Jesus. So that old statement, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved, is true. You don't come to Jesus because he's a good guy. You don't come to Jesus and submit yourself for him to be Lord of your life because the good things he did and all that. I don't know anybody that fits that category. The people that have submitted themselves to Jesus come to Jesus because they know that he is the Lord of all and that he will forgive their sin. He loved them very much. So we come to Jesus because we need a Savior. We know something's wrong in us. We know something's not right, something that is turned around. We know there's an emptiness, and we've spoken of this before. Look at all the ways mankind is trying to fill that empty hole. But when we come to Jesus, we submit to him. That's what faith means. Faith means total reliance upon him. Faith means not that you've given him some of your life, but you gave it all. There comes a point in time when that boat is leaving the dock where you've got to transfer your weight to one, the dock or the boat, right? Do you get the picture? That's what faith is. That's the word pistuo, to faith, to trust in completely. That's a Greek word that is used for faith. Every time it says believe, that's what in John 3:16, that's the word that is used there. It means we have trusted in, totally relied upon him. Well, we transfer our full faith. Well, Jesus says here, we lose our life. So here's another picture of that. I described this to you a couple of weeks ago. Faith and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Because you turn from your sin, your way. Here's my way of saving myself. Man that is trying to save his life will do what? He will lose it. So you turn from your way and turn to and throw your entire reliance upon Jesus, the Christ. Now, what does that mean for you? Where you live? Oh, that's nice information. Yeah, preacher, I agree with you about that. That's good stuff. But what does it mean? I'll start this today. I'll not finish it. I'm going to call this, as it says, using Jesus' words, I'm going to call this, he uses those two words, cross and follower. And I'm going to call this the follower's cross. How's a cross shaped? Way in the back, you nearsighted people. Mike Lane, have you got your glasses on? Good to see you, Mikey. I missed you a minute ago. Don't hug him too much. In fact, I want you to see this cross. There have been a lot of people that have used this cross. You've seen it in discipleship stuff. They've also, But what I'm going to share with you is going to be a little different today. And I want you to see this cross, this follower's cross, in four ways today. Okay? There are four parts here. And we start with us right here. We are the believer. We are the follower. All right? And God has called on us, wherever we are, that we're to worship Him and worship Him alone, right? So we give Him that worship. That's not optional. You don't get to choose whether you worship or not if you're a follower of Jesus. Do you hear me? Oh, I think I'll worship Jesus. No, maybe not today. You don't get that choice. Because the moment you submitted to Jesus and you said, Jesus is Lord of my life, everything after that is all about Him. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you feel. It's all about Him. It starts with Him, and then we receive everything through Him. Do you get it? All the passages that talk about worship. Now, we also are instructed to pray. Prayers of intercession. We bring all these prayers to Him. They're going to Him. When we pray, it's not an exercise in I want. This is an exercise in listening to the Lord. And what does He want to? What is He instructing us to say unto Him? And we're coming in agreement with Him when we pray. And that becomes also an act of worship on our part. Did you know that? Did you know that even when you intercede for others and you're taking them to the Lord, and what a privilege that is to take somebody's name, that person, into the presence of God. You're ushering them in. Book that, of course, Tony Campolo's gone off the deep end now, but years ago he wrote this book entitled, a great book called The Kingdom of God is a Party. And imagine yourself then, as you're praying, you're ushering, you've got that person on your arm, their need, what is going on in their life, and you're ushering them, you're escorting them to Jesus. You got the picture? Is that a privilege or what? That's what we do. That's on heaven. There's in fact, somebody called me a while back about this. Who else are we dealing with in the heavenlies? Now the abode of the Lord Himself, Paul speaks of that as the third heaven. You know, the physical heaven here, what we see, the sky, that's the first heaven. But there's a second heaven. There's a place where there's a domain of someone else that's on this earth. Who is that? Satan himself. He's called in the scripture, he's called the prince of the power of the air. Can you see him right here physically? Can you see his demons physically? No, not usually. But you know that there's that presence there. So, also, as we think about our responsibility in this direction, we also need to be concerned about warfare, about the battle that is going on. This battle that's going on in the heavenlies that we're a part of. Oh, preacher, you've gone off on the deep end. Go and look in the scripture and see all the places. 2 Corinthians 10, Ephesians 6. See those places. Paul says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. We know that there is presence there. Just a moment ago, we felt a sweet presence in this room, didn't we? Did you feel that? Did you feel that when Gary was playing? The other guys were. Did you feel the presence of God? Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was jumping up and down anything on the screen. You didn't have preachers screaming at you, anything like that, you know? No. You felt that quiet presence of God Himself, God the Holy Spirit who was here. Now let's flip that. Have there been places this week where you have not felt a good spirit, but you felt something else? Anybody? Well, four of us. Four of us felt it. Man, where have you been? There's a battle raging. Have you turned off your radar? Or if you're swimming, your sonar. Have you turned off the stuff and you're just not, have you checked out of the battle? Let me tell you, just as surely as you don't have the privilege to just not worship, you also do not have the privilege to not be in warfare. Because the battle is raging around us. God has us on this earth for a purpose, and it's His purpose, not ours. It's not so you can live your idyllic life out how you planned it when you were a little kid. No. It's about something that's bigger than you can imagine. Being a part of something that's eternal. You're part of the plan of God. And yes, the battle is there, but what is also there? That relationship with Him. The liquor you can drink. There's no crack you can smoke that is going to give you a greater buzz for all eternity. And let me tell you, it's not going to go away. You know, every time that you smoke crack, the next time you got to have more. And you got to have more. And you got to have more. You see, that's because it's a trap. It's trapping you in to something. You're trying to fill that hole with something that's not God. But man, when you start with the Lord in this, what I'm calling the follower's cross, man, you talk about a buzz. You talk about something that's going to last forever. You talk about something that's going to get you through every day of your life, man, and for eternity. Man, just think about it. Here's what we know about God. And every day He's expanding that. Now let me quickly move on to this so you can at least get a picture of it. All right. He's called on us to worship Him. But there are responsibilities that we have as believers. And one of those responsibilities is He wants us to be in His Word, the Bible. We read this book. We see our instructions. We see what God has for us. He's speaking to us on a daily basis. Has He spoken to you through this book this week? Last night, we ordered one of those boxes from Pizza Hut. I'm already got some of you distracted. I'd never had one of those boxes. You open that thing up. Now I'm not talking about once you just got the pizza. Ooh, no. It wasn't just the pizza. Now I didn't go for the wings, Dix. Now don't get me distracted now. It had the breadsticks with so much garlic on them that you probably don't need to be around me today. It had his and her dipping sauce in there. I looked, I saw one, I said, should I just hide this? I'll eat in the other room. Sin was crouching at the door there. But in addition to that, it had these sweet things, cinnamon with sugar. And then they gave you this little extra little pouch of stuff that you, oh man. I looked at it. That's nice. And I went in the other room and I said, Audrey, enjoy all of it. How many believe that? Not going to happen. In fact, I was right there at it, and I turned around, and Audrey was standing there with her plate. And I'd always shut the box back down. She said, what am I, chopped liver? I mean, I should have. I didn't stand on the sideline and not dive in. Because the only way you get to taste it is to eat it. The only way you eat it is to put it in your mouth. The only way you can put it in your mouth is you've got to grab a hold of it. God is calling on us. Here is His precious word. That's better than anything Pizza Hut ever put out. That is for us every day, that will fill us, and not with just a bunch of carbs, but will fill us. But you've got to grab a hold of it on a daily basis. Because what happens when you don't eat physically? What does your stomach do? Your stomach tells you, your whole body tells you, I'm hungry, feed me. I want to ask you right now, what is your soul telling you today? Are you listening? Are you listening? All right, one other thing, I'll stop on this one. This thing of prayer, it has a direction that goes this way too. As the Lord speaks to us in prayer. Have you paused long enough lately? After you got through your agenda to stop and listen. How much time do you need to listen? What kind of setting do you need to be in to listen? You need to be where you can listen. Can you hear the fan motor? Can you hear a little crackle of the building as the temperature's changing outside? Can you feel the rumble of that air swapping in here? You couldn't experience any of that if I hadn't just stopped you. I believe the Lord's calling on us. With this follower's cross, I've only dealt with this axis today. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. To do battle every day in our lives. To make His word a part of our lives, and to listen to what He says. Now next week we're going to look at this other axis, which concerns our relationship with other people. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I think it's time for us to get serious about our relationship with Jesus. It's time. It's time to start practicing the disciplines. It's time to get it right. Now, for you Phi Beta Kappa spirituals out there that are right now thinking, oh, this is elementary stuff. Come back and tell me it's elementary when you're practicing all of it. Okay? Because you know what? The Holy Spirit, to borrow a phrase from a fellow who was a stock boy for Piggly Wiggly years ago in Roanoke, Virginia, he said to my cousin one day, he said, man, he's busting your chops. And right now, I just want you to know autobiographically here that the Holy Spirit is busting my chops about this stuff right now. You with me? Understand? Clear? Plain? All right. We'll see. We'll see. Mike, we're glad you're here, son. And stand up and tell everybody what. Can you stand up? Can Amy help you up? Stand up, Mikey. Tell us what you're doing out west and what's happened to you.
I'm living in Wyoming, working for a telephone company, volunteering with a youth group at my church. Came home for a visit. My wife pushed me down the stairs.
We love you, Mike. I'm going to pray for you right now. Somebody next to him, put your hand on him, Ned Dane. Lord, we pray for Mikey. And I thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for what he means to us. And I pray your healing for him, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you'll go before him in his job, that you'll bless him. Lord, we know you have led him out west. God, I pray that you'll provide a way that Amy and the girls can be out there real soon, Lord. For all the ways you've answered prayers in their lives, we thank you today. We trust you with Mike and with his family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, you can put it in one of the baskets. And by the way, that's another thing you need to be obedient about is giving unto the Lord. Hope you don't aren't walking around with some of God's money in your pocket. So make sure you give as unto the Lord today. And Miss Arnie had a birthday this week, didn't you, Miss Arnie? Yeah. And Miss Pat had a birthday. Where's Pat? She's in the back. Make sure you. Do this on her haircut, new haircut in the back, and wish her a happy birthday. We're through. Bye-bye.